It's a great pleasure. It's a great, great pleasure. It's a great pleasure to have all of you here today.
I thought you all might begin your tour here.
Hello and welcome. This is Radio Free Gaming, your official radio show of DefunctGames.com. I'm your host, Earl Lachelle, and it's February 9th, 2007. It's been a full day since we've learned about the tragic death of Anna Nicole Smith. We've learned that Sony Pictures is planning on releasing Metal Gear. And yes, Nintendo is finally going to get Guitar Hero. Isn't it about time? But you know what? We're not going to talk about any of those. Nope. Instead, we're going to look at what other podcasts are doing in this very special episode of Radio Free Gaming. As you no doubt already know, pretty much every other website out there already has a podcast. There's nothing unusual about it, and, you know, it's fun to listen to them. But not everybody has the time to listen to GameSpot, and IGN, and 1UP, and Next Generation. So, we thought we were going to compile some of our favorite clips and then give you our reaction to whatever they said. This is an interesting idea that may or may not work out, but that doesn't matter because I have some comments about some of the things I've recently heard on 1UP and IGN and all those other sites. I think it might be fun to dissect some of the things that are actually said on the podcast, especially the things that relate to what we cover on DefunctGames.com. Perhaps the most exciting news comes to us from Konami, who this week decided to finally re-release their classic Dracula X, Rondo of Blood, a game that was originally released on the PC Engine over in Japan, but never actually made its way to the US. Well, unless you consider that horrible Super Nintendo game to be released, but that's not an issue. Well, here's Shane Bettenhausen over at 1UP.com explaining a little bit more about it. It's definitely worth a listen.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know what Rondo of Blood is because it never came out in America in its full form.
Right. So think the Super NES Dracula X, except about five times more awesome. Would you call this the Holy Grail of Castlevania?
For me, it kind of is. Like, I do like Symphony of Night a little bit better than Rondo of Blood, but in terms of pure action Castlevanias...
Well, they're both different kinds of games. Symphony of the Night is, you know, the big, expansive, open-ended game. Rondo of Blood basically took the classic Castlevania formula, which is level by level, and perfected it. And right. It's just every level is awesome, and not only that, but every level has two parts to it. So there's alternating paths, there's multiple characters, there's all kinds of crazy stuff you can do, and it just plays perfectly.
The control isn't quite as loose and agile.
No, it's a pretty stiff game. You have very precise control, but it's definitely the most, I don't know, like it feels the most intuitive of all the stiff Castlevanias.
Right, but if you are used to the night, when you first get your hands on this, you'll think, oh wow, this plays more like old Castlevania. But
actually works pretty well for the PSP conversion because it's being made in 3D, so you've got polygonal graphics. The original game was actually very rigid, and
it
from
plays
what
exactly
I've played,
like it really
the
does.
The PSP game, even though it's super early, like it totally gets the feel of the game down. Right,
all the secrets where they're supposed to be. Like if you having played that, it's like wow, this feels immediately just like what it's supposed to feel like.
So there you have it. It's the holy grail of Castlevania games, the best game of all time, the game that everybody wants, the game that's going for over $150 on eBay. But not everybody agrees with Shane. And in fact, if you listen to this week's episode of IGN's podcast, you might think that this is not that big of a deal. In fact, the whole idea of another Castlevania game, especially one on the PSP, seems like kind of a downer to them. Check it out and see what I mean.
What's you guys excited about the Castlevania game that's coming to the PSP? The remake?
No.
No?
Because it's coming to the PSP. I don't want to buy a PSP.
What a
Craig just called
no
you a
No one
fanboy.
Here wants to own a PSP.
I own a PSP.
But do you want to own the PSP?
Are you proud owners of
the
PSP?
Too late for that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm glad that I didn't fall prey to that.
I guess I wanted one.
I pre-ordered one.
Yeah. I also own a portable Lumines machine. So.
Nice. Well, you know, when I saw the Castlevania, it's just going to be Symphony of the Night, right? Or Symphony of the Night and...
Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood, and then the remake of Rondo of Blood.
And then when I saw it moving, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a 2D gameplay, but it's all 3D elements.
It's all 3D.
I didn't like the animation too much.
The animation is pretty clunky, actually.
Yeah.
Did you play it at the event?
No,
I didn't. No, it doesn't play all that well. Like, because I've been playing a lot of Super Castlevania 4 on the Virtual Console, and the remake plays worse than that game, like, and I don't really understand that. Because you've got the eight-directional whipping in Super Castlevania 4, and you don't have that in Rondo Blood, and there's nothing to make up for it. There's a backflip.
So is there a reason, is that the reason why it was never brought to the U.S.? Is it because it wasn't that good?
I heard that it was pretty hard, and it's like a...
Too hard.
It's like one of the undiscovered gems of the Castlevania franchise, yeah. I guess. That's what I've always heard about it, but I don't know.
It's actually games like that and Super, or the Ghouls and Ghosts remake, them actually make me want a PSP.
Yeah. But, no, it makes me want one, too. I just don't want to want one, so...
Look, I could probably go into a big, long defense of the PSP, but, you know, if they're not interested in Metal Gear Solid, Portable Ops, Daxter, the new Ratchet & Clank game, or really any of the other really big and good titles on the PSP, then, you know, who cares? But contrast what they said with what the people at 1UP say. Here's another clip.
PSP is blowing up. Also, you know, you look on 1UP, we have the exclusive preview for the Castlevania Dracula X Chronicles, which is the remake of Rondo of Blood, which is the PC Engine game that no one ever played, which is an amazing game. I love that game. But, you know, in addition to that game, which most Castlevania fans have never
Smokers played, understand, Luke, don't worry. Right.
But it also has, Symphony of the Night, kind of a rejiggered version of that, where it's the retranslation, it's actually fitting the PSP screen, they're adding some new content. So it has both of these games, which are amazing games, on PSP, coming out this October. Like, the graphics taking a few knocks right now, it's not done, it's pre-alpha, so they will look better eventually.
Really? They're saying, I thought they looked, especially for something that's under development, 2.5D on the PSP, I thought they looked solid.
But yeah, the animation definitely isn't final, the effects aren't final, so...
Well, that type of game, animation frames are something they're continuously adding in there and working on. So I think you could.
So, but yeah, I mean, that game is obviously one of my most looked forward to games of the year.
1UP talks about how amazing the game feels and how it's just like the original. They even talk about how the graphics look good for an alpha version of the game. But that doesn't seem to be enough for IGN. They seem to think that Rondo of Blood isn't that big of a deal. Like maybe we didn't really miss out on anything in the first place. Well. As somebody who loves Rondo of Blood and the Castlevania series in general, I just cannot believe what IGN is talking about. But then again, when you hear the rest of their podcast, you realize they don't really respect a lot of the old games to begin with. Here's what they say about the Sega CD.
And maybe when the Saturn comes out, then they're going to have to figure something out.
Oh, man. It's going to be so awesome. I will buy all of those games again. Yeah.
you can run into the SD card, too. So.
That's true, yeah. Well, listen, GameScoop listener Jonathan Hansen wrote in this week asking if there would be any Sega CD games released.
No. Sewer Shark.
What did he say?
No, if they released Lunar and Lunar 2, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Shining Force CD. This game Vi was another RPG that was awesome. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It was VAI.
Well, there was Ease and there was Wonder Dog. Hey, you remember Wonder Dog on the Sega CD?
No. I only played I played very few games on the Sega CD.
Everyone played very few games on the Sega
Night
CD.
Trap.
What else?
Oh man, I wish I had the list.
The real question is: any 32X games?
Yeah,
32X. I would say that would be more like.
Oh god.
To see 32X games than Sega CD games, because they were on regular sized cartridges. So they would, if they're going to release it, all they needed is the emulator for it, and it really wasn't all that powerful. So.
Yeah. Well, we know.
Maybe it's just me, but. That makes my ears hurt. I almost coughed up blood while listening to them talk about that. I mean, are the only Sega CD games they remember the full motion video shit? I mean, don't they remember anything like, I don't know, maybe the accurate version of Final Fight or Eternal Champions or, I don't know, Snatcher? Shining Force CD, Sonic CD? There's so many great games on the Sega CD. Oh, I mean, sure, it's no Genesis or Super Nintendo, but come on now. There's no reason to disrespect it. Let's face it, if you're a fan of defunct games, and, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you must be, then that probably made your ears hurt a little bit too. So, well, let's move on. As I'm sure you no doubt already know, the nice people over at NextGen.biz allow regular people to send in regular questions to get expert advice from the people at that website. Usually this works out pretty well because people just record themselves acting normal, like I am right now, where they just talk into some sort of recording program and just send it via email. But then there are people that seem to not want their identity to be given up, like maybe they're holding some hostages or something. A good case in point is this letter to the editor.
This is Pen15 from Maryland. Before I get to my question, I'd like to say this is the greatest new podcast of the year. While I appreciate your incredible exclusive interviews, I find just listening to your often amusing and insightful commentary on the industry to be a great boost in the middle of my week. It doesn't hurt that whenever you hear anything said in an accent, it sounds more official. On to the point. Gaming in recent years has been slanting towards a dumbed-down and easy experience for me. To cover up this inherent flaw in games, you'll find an unneeded amount of gore and or sex in place of deep and intelligent gameplay. While Ninja Gaiden is possibly the greatest game of our last generation, it's God of War that acquires all the fanfare. On the other side of the coin, Supreme Commander looks to be one of the best games I will never play due to my RTS skills being limited to Age of Empires 2, and I'm not even very competent at that. My question is, why not design a game that nourishes the need of the mainstream while engaging to the hardcore? If Insomniac with Ratchet & Clank and Nintendo with the Mario series can do it, then why don't most companies go with a similar approach? I would love my younger sister to play Ninja Gaiden as much as I want an accessible version of Supreme Commander.
Apparently I'm not the only one that noticed how funny that letter was, and the fact that it's pretty obvious that he used something to mask his voice, or slowed it down considerably. Because NextGen.biz decided to make fun of it. Well, make fun of it a little bit. Check out what happened in their very next podcast.
We've been contacted by a robot.
Hello, this is Mongo once again. Very funny show you have there. I love. Quick question. Can you record an entire episode from a moving roller coaster? Also, can you have famed games attorney Jack Thompson on your show? If he is too unruly, perhaps someone from Naughty Dog, as it looks like they have a new game in the works titled Uncharted Drake's Fortune for the PlayStation 3. Thank you.
Man, I don't even know what to say to that. I'm not going to say anything. Instead, we're going to move over to GameSpot, who also has a call-in show. Recently, they've been having this long discussion involving staples, the Wii, trying to find games, and all sorts of other things, but let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Instead, let's just take it from the beginning with the first call-in that sparked this long debate.
Hi, I live in Canada, and I have a question for you, but I feel I can only ask it through music, so I'm going to sing it now. Why the hell can't I find a frickin' Wii? I've been looking everywhere for one. I've been to Future Shop twice, probably even more, three times. And they've had four shipments, but I still can't find one. And I went to Best Buy, and I probably went to Staples. No, I'm sure I went to Staples. And then I even went to EB Games, even though the whole thing is frickin' futile. And I got Trauma Center, but I can't play it on anything. So I'm going to stick it in my toaster. And probably not eat it. So, can you tell me why they're supposed to be everywhere, but they're not everywhere, and I can't find one, and I really want to play one, so answer my question. Bye.
Hey, dude, why'd you go to Staples? Don't sell games. Hey, dude, why'd you go to Staples? Just listen Just listen to this next call and you'll see.
Hey, GameSpot, what's up? I was listening to your show from last week, and I heard some guy from Canada sing that he couldn't find a Wii at Staples, and I was just wondering, when was the last time you walked out of Staples with a game console
you
in your hand?
You can get a freaking Wii at Staples!
You cannot get a Wii from
Staples.
I am sick of having this argument with you.
No,
you cannot. No.
Technology.
Hey, would you listen?
No, it's called technology.
It's Staples. Called Staples. It's called Staples because it has Staples in
when
the store and other assorted office supplies. If it was called Weeples, maybe then they'd have
Wii. No, they have technology.
I'm sick and tired of having this argument conversation with you. Please answer this so I can stop fighting with this moron sitting next to me.
No.
Bye bye.
Oh, that's the greatest call of all time. Oh, I can't top that. Oh, leave me alone. Just go and listen to the most articulate person to ever call GameSpot. No, really, just go.
Hey there, Hotspot. This is Peggy Kearns calling from historic New Jersey. I actually have two comments and a question. The first is I was wandering in Staples the other day looking for one of those mini shredder things to see if I could shred lettuce for salad and sandwiches because I'm really interested in doing that. And I thought of our Canadian friend who called in a couple of weeks ago looking for a Wii in the Staples. I did do a little bit of a search and found that there was a very limited variety of PC games in the store. I'm talking maybe 6 or 7. Maybe our Canadian friend had purchased a PC game in a Staples in the past, and thus arose the confusion. Also, I wanted to let you know that I am actually very comforted by the fact that many of your staff, who one might describe as very into gaming, is having a difficult time locating a Wii. It makes my rather limited efforts as what would be described as a casual gamer not so pathetic. Personally, I do have 2 Wii games, a Wii remote, and the component cables ready to go when I do finally purchase a Wii. Fortunately, that may be in February as things progress the way they are. That leads to my question. I was wondering, is the scarcity of Wiis around due to the fact that Nintendo couldn't make the amount that they had projected and thus the supply is limited, rather like the PlayStation 3, or is it just really, really popular? And have they sold out the supply that they had thought maybe could have been close to meeting their expectations? Anyway, I've babbled enough. Thank you, and hope to hear an answer to my question. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, or Happy Hanukkah or Kwanzaa if you celebrate those holidays.
I don't know about you, but I think Peggy is probably my favorite video game podcast caller of all time. I could listen to her just talk gibberish for an hour. I love her. In fact, I love her so much that here's a bonus helping of her talking about gibberish. No, really, check it out.
Hello, Hotspot. This is Peggy Kearns calling once again from New Jersey, the home of the highest population density of white-tailed deer in the world. In case you're wondering why I knew about the microchip or why I cared about the microchip, I thought it might be a little less freaky if you knew that I am indeed a veterinarian, so I have a vested interest in the subject. Thank you, and once again, have a pleasant evening.
Peggy, if you're listening to this, and I seriously doubt that you are, but if you are, please get a hold of me because I want you to do all of our podcasts from now on. I will gladly step down. I want you for all of our podcasts. We're down to our final and my favorite segment of Radio Free Gaming. This is where I bring up the most ridiculous item of the day. Wait a second. I think that might be trademarked by Bill O'Reilly. But anyway, this is the most ridiculous thing you will ever hear. This is a letter that GameSpot got not too long ago that pretty much sums up the average GameSpot reader. No explanation is really necessary. Just check it out.
Listen up. Listen up. How come nobody's noticed that freaking Master Chief is a freaking kid in the freaking new Halo 3 freaking trailer of freaking awesomeness? How come nobody noticed that, huh? Like, because usually in movies, you know what I'm saying, boy? In movies, when someone gets bombed the crap out of, they remember the past things that goes on in their lives. You know what I'm saying? So he remember when he with his sis, homegirl, slash, person, dudette, he remembers that. And he gets up and fights through the pain, like Gears of War style. But nobody puck him up because he's Master Chief and he could do it by himself. He is a preschooler. So he go run off the cliff and a bunch of them elite go shoot the hell out of that brute with the big hammer. I saw it and I slow motion. They're like fighting him, yo. So he go and he shoot up in the air, and I think he kill him, but the brute might have smashed his head off with the hammer. But you don't know. It might be a twist. Halo 3 just might be just a dude with his head completely off. All right, guys. I'll see you guys later. Bye. You guys are my best friends.
And with that, I think we can... I think we can pretty much call this episode done. We've seen a lot this episode. We've learned a lot this episode. We've learned that IGN doesn't care about us. We've learned that you can't buy a Wii at Staples, and we learned that Master Chief was a kid. But then again, weren't we all at one point? I want to thank everybody for joining us on this Radio Free Gaming. If you want more information, I suggest you head on over to defunctgames.com. That's defunctgames.com. I'll see you next time. And just keep smiling.